Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We're going to start a new series tonight, and you're going to like this one. This is good. I'm going to start with the actual series that we, actual first verse that we started the church with, very first verse that we ever read here at the church, and then we'll talk about that. It says 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Father, thank you for the opportunity to receive your word. We thank you for everyone online that's watching and listening. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, our hearts are open. I ask you, Father, that you would give me words to speak that help, that strengthen, that encourage, that we leave here different than how we came in. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. That was three important things that Paul listed at the very end of his letter to the Corinthian church. Three important things. He said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're always going to talk about grace here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the God's power and ability on our behalf. God's power and ability on our behalf that we didn't earn. It's grace that provides salvation. If you've been raised in church, many understand that by faith are we saved, by grace are we saved through faith. And so we understand that grace, we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, and God did it for us anyway, and it's grace, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful thing, but we don't stop just with saying, hey, we're so glad to be saved by grace. Paul told something to Timothy that it's important that we learn. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now he said, be strong. What's he mean, the grace that's in Christ Jesus? It means that when you made Jesus your Lord, you became a new creation in Christ. Something changed in you. You're not the same person that you used to be. And the grace that's in Christ Jesus begins to find out all the things that have happened to us because we're now connected with Christ. And we can be strong in that. And he didn't say be strong in your personality. He didn't tell Timothy be strong in your teaching and preaching. He said you be strong in what Jesus has done for you. And the beautiful thing about that is that means anybody can be strong on the inside. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, I'm just a weak personality. You can still be strong spiritually. And you'll be strong on the inside. It's available to anybody. This is not genetics. This is not DNA. This is the fact that your spiritual DNA changed when you made Jesus your Lord. So now we find out what he's done for us and then who we are in Christ. You know, you're not the same person that you used to be. You can be strong in that. Do you know that you're actually, the Bible said that you are blessed. You're no longer cursed. The blessings of God are on you. Amen. You can be strong in that. The Bible said we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because you made Jesus our Lord, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. What am I doing? I'm saying these things that are a reality in us, and the more we begin to understand them, the stronger we become. And so then you're strong. And so when the enemy attacks you, he comes at your mind or comes at you and you're all these thoughts of I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not good enough. You're like, whoa, stop. I've changed. I got a new Lord. I'm a new creation. I'm part of a new family. I'm not buying that stuff anymore. Thank God I'm in Christ, and greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. Amen. And so this is the type of resisting that you can do, especially when thoughts come your way that talk about how unworthy we are. But that's not our subject. It's just important. Second one, the grace of the Lord, the love of God. We got grace, we got the love of God. Oh, we don't get tired of the love of God. Love is what sent Jesus. 1 John 4-9. John was the same John that was an apostle, a disciple of Jesus. He was actually the youngest. He wrote the Gospel of John about 50 years afterwards. But John's perspective is great. And they called him the apostle of love because in 1 John, he talks about love a lot. And he's not talking about that. We're not talking about that romantic love. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. You see someone and your heart flutters when they walk into the room. We're not talking about that kind of love. We're not talking about you love pizza or you love trucks or that kind of love. We're not talking about that kind of love. We're not talking about you love your dog. This is actually a higher form of love than the love for your dog. Did I lose you on that one? We're like, whoa. And this is actually a higher form of love than your dog has for you. Some of you think I just blasphemed. I did not blaspheme. I appreciate my dog, but if Joy opens a container, he hears a rapper, that dog will leave me in a heartbeat. Sell me out in a heartbeat. Okay. This is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. If you made Jesus your Lord, how many of you know I live through him? Thank God he sent his Son. I live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the price for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So this is that type of love that says we believe the love that God has for us. We recognize this love. This is the love that sent Jesus. And not only do we believe and recognize it, but the objective is we're to emulate this type of love toward one another. In other words, we're to walk in this love. Now, obviously, this is a choice. It's not a feeling, because there are people that you can still walk in love towards and not have a single feeling. In fact, you might have bad feelings. But see, we're y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. We've gotten so accustomed to thinking that feelings are reality that we don't, then when we think, well, I just don't feel loving towards them. No, you can choose to love them. You can choose to do something for their benefit, regardless of whether you feel like it or not. Right. This will, for those of you who are married, this will help your marriage. Because if you'll have to be married longer than 3 weeks to realize you may lose some loving feelings. And they're gone. Whoa, yeah. For those of you who did not get that reference, it's a 70s reference, just look it up, Google it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and here's the last one, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the one that we know just don't know about this one as much. The communion of the Holy Spirit, another word, is the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Another word is the fellowship, taking part in what we receive from the Holy Spirit. The series I'm starting tonight is called Our Great Helper. And I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the partnership that we have with him. And there's just, like I said, you talk love, you talk grace, and we understand that. But when we start talking about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, there's just a lot of questions out there, a lot of controversy out there. So if you'll stay with us, we'll help you. And here's what will happen at the end of this. One, you're going to become more aware of how he helps us. And let me tell you something. You, me, Joy, Justin, everybody you know needs help. That didn't go over well at all, so I'm going to go ahead and repeat that. Even Mary Beth, who's married to Justin, needs help. Everybody that you know as a believer needs help. Now here's the deal. Why do we need help? And I'm going to veer tonight, and I'm going to talk about something that really is on my heart, and we're going to get back to the Holy Spirit. Why would you need a partner? Why would we need a partnership with the Holy Spirit? It's because we have a purpose. Amen. Jesus, we'll look at him first. Jesus recognized his purpose. And I want you to keep this thought in mind. I have a purpose. And because I have a purpose that's just bigger than me, I need help. I need God's help in this. And he gave us help. But I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to see Jesus recognized his purpose. This is before the cross. This is fairly close to the cross. Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled." You know, you realize that Jesus had dealt with the same feelings we deal with? Some people don't believe that. They believe the kind of Jesus just kind of floated through life. The Bible said he was tempted with in all points as we are, yet he did not sin. So that means he had feelings like we have feelings. And actually, that is a very liberating thought, because if Jesus dealt with the same stuff we dealt with, then he is a very faithful and merciful high priest. When we come to him and go, Lord, I'm having a hard time with this, he understands. Yes. He's not just so separate and like, oh, I can't relate to that. Thank God he understands.
Amen.
Now his soul, he said, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. When he said, my soul, what's he did? He knows what he's going to face. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to be separated from his heavenly Father. He knows he's going to take the sins of the world. He knows that. And it's hard. He knows what he's going to be dealing with. And I love what he said. Should I say, Lord, just save me from this hour? He said, no, for this purpose. This is why I came. Glorify your name.
Amen.
And he recognized that his purpose in life was to glorify God and to save mankind. To glorify God. In fact, he prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you've given me to do. To glorify God, to save mankind. And because of his purpose, he was able to endure the cross. Now catch this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, this is in Hebrews, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That word despising the shame meant he thought little of it. Cross was a horrible thing, shameful thing, humiliating. He didn't think much about it. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy set before him? The salvation of mankind. He knew that by his going to the cross, that it would once again close that gap between God and man, that we could be reunited and have a relationship with God. He knew that if he did that, that the price, the sins of mankind would be taken care of. And no longer would we be under the burden of sin. We can now come under grace. He knew what would happen. And because he had a joy set before him, he was able to endure. If you've got something set before you, you can deal with stuff. When I was 22, I moved from North Carolina to Texas. I was a sales rep for Wrangler Jeans. And they sent me to Texas. I found Lakewood Church, started going to Lakewood Church. I got back in fellowship with the Lord. Many of you know that story, how joy, God used joy as bait, and I got back in fellowship. No, serious, that was serious bait right there. And I took the whole thing, boy. I'm just like, I went to Lakewood, and Lakewood Church, I was living in Clear Lake City. I was driving to Old Lakewood, which is over on Wayside Drive. And I was driving a long way. About 40 minutes at least to get there. And I remember going, and a guy walked up to me, and he said, man, he said, you look like you would be a good usher. Here I am, 22, and pretty full of myself. I'm like, yeah, I would be a good usher. And I became an usher. Didn't know what I was doing, but I was an usher. And they put me actually on Pastor Osteen's row where he would come out, so I would see him and say hello to him. And so I was an usher for Lakewood. Now, you have to understand, guys, some of you appreciate this. They didn't do no our church thing. y'all are real blessed that I'm super time conscious, because we went at least an hour and a half. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know the hour and a half was a short night?
Yeah.
Two was not uncommon. Two and a half. Do I hear three? Gotta give me three. But we'd go a long time. I would go Sunday morning. I would just be there Sunday morning. We would go back to church on Sunday night. Say, Alan, why don't we have Sunday night? Because I hated going back to church on Sunday night. That's why. But we had church on Sunday night. And we had church on Wednesday nights. I was in church three times a week. There were times, there were moments when I would get up and I would think to myself, man, I do not feel like going. I know none of you ever have felt like that at all. And on you online folks, you know, I'm not even talking about you. I've just, none of you ever felt like that. But the reason I would go is because I was an usher. And I needed to go ush. By the way, don't you appreciate our ushers here? We got a good group. We've got some great guys. But I would go not because I felt like going. I would go because I had a purpose. I honestly believe one of the best things about serving is it will keep you in church.
Amen.
Because you get up and think about, man, do I want to go? I got a job. And I went. Bigger purpose. Jesus had a big purpose. Big purpose, big life. Big purpose, you deal with things. If your purpose is big, you deal with things better than if you're just kind of like, whatever, it doesn't matter. How many of you know, you've heard me use this before, but it bears repeating. How many of you know how much stuff you can get done before you go on vacation? Right? You're getting ready to go on vacation. You got all these projects. You start knocking them out. Boom, boom, boom. Why? Because I am going on vacation and nothing is going to stop me. And come hell or high water, I'm going straight through. Purpose. Bigger purpose, bigger life. Bigger purpose, the ability to handle things. For the joy set before him, Jesus was able to endure the cross. He had something that was just, it's like, this is why I'm doing this. Why do we need a partner? Because we have a bigger purpose. We have to recognize our purpose. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, now it's talking to us. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this was all the people in Hebrews chapter 11. These are people who lived by faith in God. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. The race that's set before us. Do you realize you have a race to run? So no, Alan, no, not me. That's your job. You're the preacher. I'm the watcher. No. You have a race to run. Everyone you know who's made Jesus your Lord, their Lord, has a race to run. And I want to make sure that I cover this because it's important. The race set before us involves us glorifying God and advancing his kingdom. Glorifying God and advancing his kingdom. Wouldn't it be sad if the only people in the body of Christ who had a real purpose were the preachers and the singers? Where would that leave you? Well, I guess we just come and watch. That's not the purpose. The purpose is for you to run your race and to glorify God and to advance his kingdom. Now, this is kind of where people kind of go, Alan, look, you know, I appreciate that, but man, I'm just trying to be a good spouse. I'm trying to be a good, husband or good mother. I'm trying to be a good wife. I'm just trying to be a good person, not do anybody harm, and then go to heaven. That's it. Anything wrong with that? No. But it's not a big purpose. And you were made for more than that. You ever go to one of those, I don't think they do them as much anymore. You ever go to one of those, they used to have carnivals that would come through. And I don't know, a carnival would come through my town, the fairs would come through. It was kind of a seedy group of folks, but anyway. That's actually one of the reasons that Walt Disney created Disney World, because he took his kids to a carnival and thought, man, this is dirty, isn't it? Thank you, Disney World. But we won't talk about Disney. the idea, though, what if you went to just a carnival and you brought your kids, or now at my age I'm bringing grandkids. Matt's too old to take to a carnival, and they got a where they can ride a horse, and they get on the horse and they walk this horse around and. Of course, you get out your phone because it's your grandchild, and you're waving, and they're waving. And they're on this horse, and you're looking at this horse. You start looking at this horse, you go, I don't know that much about horses, but man, that's a beautiful horse. I mean, it's tall, it's sleek looking. Man, it's a beautiful horse. And your grandchild's just walking around the horse. So you go over to the owner of the horse, and you go, is that your horse? He goes, yeah, that's my horse. Man, that's a beautiful horse. What kind of horse is that? He said, that, sir, is a thoroughbred racing horse right there. He said, really? Oh, yeah. His grandfather won the Kentucky Derby. His father won the Belmont Stakes. His mother was a top-ranked filly in her day. That is a champion bloodline horse. He looks fast. Oh, he is blazing fast. That horse can run. Sir, if you don't mind me asking, why is that horse walking around in circles carrying kids on his back? Well, is there any problem with taking care of the kids? No, there's no problem with taking care of the kids, but the horse was made and built for more than that.
Come on.
You come from a champion bloodline. Your bloodline is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you got a Father that's the Creator. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And you are built for more than just taking care of you and your life and keeping it small. You are built to glorify God and advance His kingdom. You say, well, I'm not going to quit my job and go be a missionary in Africa. No one said you have to quit your job and go be a missionary in Africa. Well, what I'm saying is the overarching goal of our life is we are here, Lord, because we are here to glorify you and we are here to advance your kingdom. My job fits under that. My family fits under that. My purpose fits under that. That's the big purpose of my life. So whatever I'm doing, if you drive a truck, if you're a sales rep, if you're a teacher, if you run a retail store, if you stay at home mom or stay at home dad, whatever you do, it fits under that big umbrella of God, I am here to glorify you and advance your kingdom, and that is my purpose. And when that's your purpose, then the little things of life don't matter as much. Amen. And four, and that's why you need a partner. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because we're built for a bigger purpose, guys. So, you know, Alan, I'm not a preacher. This is not about being a preacher. This is about being in the body of Christ. And the purpose is, in fact, Paul would pray for believers. Yeah, we got time. Paul would pray. Look at this prayer. This is Paul praying for the church. He said, for this reason, we also, since today we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you preachers. And oh, no, I'm sorry. We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Not just me. You. Fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy.
Amen.
Paul prayed this prayer. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer. It's inspired. It's in the Bible. Paul said, this is what I'm praying. Do you notice what he didn't pray? Hey, I know you guys are going through some tough times. I'm just praying that your tough times will be over. He kept saying, no, I'm praying that God would fill you with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because you get filled with the knowledge of His will, and some of your tough times will be over because you're going to put up a fight. He said, not only that, he said, I pray, and I love that. There's about five things. That you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. This is us. This is us. This is not just preachers. This is not just staff members. This is us. That we would walk worthy of the Lord. How many of you have kids? Go ahead, show of hands. Don't be embarrassed. Show ahead. How many of you, okay. How many of you have ever been embarrassed of your children? I'm not going to tell on Matt tonight. Matt was actually He was just always into stuff. The embarrassing one was Michael. Yeah, I got an amen section here. Like, yeah, that's right. We used to take him to a, Joy would take him to the store. I would take him to the store, and he would ask for something. He was the baby. He's 9 years younger than Matt, and he's 6 years younger than Christine. He's like an only child. And don't go all. He didn't embarrass you. He embarrassed us. We would ask him. You know, Michael. He would say, "Can I have this?" And we'd be like, "No." And so we'd be in the middle of a store, and he would do this. He would walk like this. like straighten up. And he was this little kid. He had these little glasses. And people would come along, and he would go, "Aww." I'm like, because of CPS, when I get your honey home, it's going to be... It's going to be another story. How many of you know your kids could do stuff and you're like, "Oh, dear Lord." But how many of you have been blessed when your kids show up big and they honor your family? And you're like, when your kid does something really good and you're like, "Yeah, that's my child." What's that? What are we talking about? Walking worthy. You think our Heavenly Father doesn't notice when we walk worthy of Him? Aren't you glad we have the actual capacity to do it? Which is why we need a partner. Which is why we need help. To walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Yes. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, it said, "For we are His workmanship." That's right. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has ordained beforehand that we should walk in them." Guys, I hope if nothing else tonight that you get this, that God has a bigger plan for your life than you thought. And there's a bigger purpose for your life than simply surviving, simply handling your stuff, simply going to work, coming home, going to work, coming home, taking a vacation, going to work, coming home, coming home, going to work, church, home.
Amen.
And then you retire. And go play golf every day and bore yourself to tears. Hey, there's a bigger purpose than that. John Gay, I don't think John's here tonight. John's about 90 now. John Gay still goes to the nursing homes so he can minister to the old people. And John's kept his mind living with a purpose. You were meant. You are born again to glorify God and advance His kingdom. And boy, when you get a hold of that, it'll change your job. You're like, "This job is this is a job. I'm going to use that job. I'm going to glorify God in this job. I'm going to do well. And I'm going to advance His kingdom." Changes things. Big purpose, big life. Big purpose, we handle things better. Big purpose, we need a big helper. And we have one. Next week, we'll start talking about the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about why people aren't excited about Him. There's some reasons. None of them are good, but there are reasons. And we'll talk about it. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? This evening, if you came or you're watching online and you say, "You know, Alan, I wish I had a purpose. I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, but I want to." Or maybe you're like I was. I had a relationship with God and I fell away from Him. And I recognized every time I would hear someone talk about this, something's just churning on the inside of me because I knew I needed to come back. Either one of those situations applies to you and you online, we're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. But this is a powerful prayer. This is a prayer to connect you or reconnect you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, would you just slip your hand up real quick? Say, "Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? I need to know." All right, I'm making sure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. Yeah, got you. Over here. Anybody else? Yeah, in the back. Great. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand and wanted to, this is still a heart thing. You can get in on this. We're going to join you as a church family. Pray this out loud with us. If you're online, pray this out loud with us online. If you're by yourself, if you're with others, pray it quietly. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.